For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good morning. Before the talking part of the Dharma talk, we will chant the Universal Gateway of Kanzeon Bodhisattva, which is on page 6. So if you'll turn to that.
Universal Gateway of Kanzeon Bodhisattva.
Listen to the deeds of Kanzeon, regarder of the world sounds, aptly responding in every quarter, who with immense vow, deepest oceans throughout the kalpas beyond reckoning, has served many billions of Buddhas, bringing forth this great pure vow, hearing the name or seeing the form of Kanzeon with mindful remembrance is not vain, for thus can be erased the woes of existence, even if someone with harmful intent should push you into a great fiery pit. By mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, the pit of fire will turn into a pond. If floating on a vast sea, menaced by dragons, fish, or demons, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, the billowing waves cannot drown you. If from Mount Suzuro's lofty peak someone were to hurl you down, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, like the sun you would hang in the sky. If pursued by evil men down from a diamond mountain, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, they could not harm a single hair. If surrounded by vicious bandits, each wielding a sword set for assault, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, at once their hearts will be turned to compassion. If subject to persecution from dictators, you face torture and execution. By mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, their weapons will thereby shatter to pieces. If imprisoned in shackles and chains, hands and feet bound in restraints, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, suddenly you shall be released. If by curses or poisonous herbs someone wishes to hurt your body, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, the harm will rebound to its initiator. If you meet evil goblins, poison dragons, or various demons, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, none will dare you harm. If surrounded by raging beasts with sharp fangs and dreadful claws, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, they will quickly scatter in all directions. If venomous snakes or scorpions threaten with noxious flaming breath, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, upon hearing your voice, they will turn and depart. If clouds, thunder, and lightning strikes, when hailstones fall, and it rains in torrents, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, instantly they will dissipate. When living beings suffer hardships, burdened by immeasurable woes, the power of Kanzeon's wondrous wisdom can relieve the suffering of the world. Fully endowed, miraculous powers, widely practicing wisdom and skillful means, in every land, in all directions, in no realm does Kanzeon not appear. In all the various evil destinies of hell, beings, hungry goats and animals, the sufferings of birth, old age, and death are gradually erased on throne. Through regard, serene regard, far-reaching, wise regard, with compassion and loving kindness, is ever longed for, ever revered, unblemished, serene, radiance, violet sun, dispelling all gloom. Kanzeon can subdue the wind and fire of woes, clearly illuminating all the world. The priestess of compassion roar like thunder. The kind heart is wondrous as great clouds, pouring dharma rain of sweet dew, quenching all flames of troubling passion. When accused by lawyers in courts, or terrified amid soldiers in combat, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, all hostilities will be dispersed. The wondrous voice of Kanzeon, pure as Brahma voice, sounds of the tides, surpasses all sounds within the world. Therefore, ever keep it in mind, in each thought, with never a doubt. Kanzeon, the pure sage, in pain, agony, or infant's distress, can provide a pure support, fully endowed with all virtues, eyes of compassion. Behold all beings, assembling a boundless ocean of happiness, thus with reverence, bowing prostration.
Good morning. As Taigen said, we're coming to the end of our spring practice commitment period, in which we've been reading, focusing on four chapters from the Lotus Sutra, all four of which have been sort of astonishing in just the presentations. The chapter 2 on skillful means, chapter 11, which is the story of a giant treasure stupa and dead Buddha who appears during a sermon of the Buddha, and everyone in the assembly and all the Buddhas from out the universe all rise up in the air to meet him. Then there's chapter 15, in which uncountable numbers of bodhisattvas spring up from under the earth to appear at the assembly. And finally, in chapter 16, the Buddha announces that he has an immeasurable lifespan, that while he's really been alive for about 75 years, it's only apparent that he's only been alive for 75 years. His birth and death has been a skillful means to bring the Dharma to people in this world, but he's been alive for an immeasurable period of time before he appeared to be born, and after he dies, he will continue to be alive and teach the Dharma. So all of that's pretty surprising, but I think that this... what we just chanted is from chapter 25, and I thought that would be a little more surprising, but it's a wonderful chapter because it is really a celebration of Kanzeon as the absolute expression of the bodhisattva life. And chapter 25 is probably the part of the Lotus Sutra that people in East Asia are most familiar with, if they're familiar with the Lotus Sutra at all, and is the one that's probably most often pictured in art. And this chant that we just chanted is the verse section of chapter 25 and is chanted at least in Soto monasteries every day. So that might seem kind of surprising, I think, because it's kind of, you might say, okay, we're Zen, we're all very austere, we're all about awakening and perceiving the ultimate nature of things. Why are we chanting this mumbo-jumbo about calling out to Kanzeon Bodhisattva, calling out her name, and if you do that, then you'll be protected from bandits who are attacking you, or from poisonous herbs, or evil goblins, poison dragons, and demons, that sort of stuff. And I will get back to that. I think it would be helpful to provide a little background. Kanzeon is a Japanese name for Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, the Bodhisattva of Compassion. And the Bodhisattva who is really the ultimate expression of compassion and skillful means in presenting the Dharma and relieving the suffering of all beings. And as part of the skillful means, Kanzeon means in Japanese regards or hears sounds of the world, and the name is frequently translated as perceiver or regarder of the cries of the world, because it's not that Kanzeon just has a superpower to hear all of the sounds of the world. What Kanzeon does is hears the cries of suffering people who need help. And Kanzeon responds to that to relieve the suffering of all beings who will call upon him or her. So one of Kanzeon's skillful means is the ability to take multiple forms, and we have examples of that in the Zendo. So we have a traditional image of Avalokiteshvara there, sort of an androgynous figure, and we have the most popular form of Avalokiteshvara there, who's Kanzeon. That one, Taigen can correct me if I'm wrong, is a print of a drawing by Dogen, the founder of Soto Zen in Japan, and it remembers how he was saved by Kanzeon during a horrible storm during the voyage from China to in returning to Japan after he'd completed his Zen studies in China. And he called upon Kanzeon to save them, and they were, and he had a vision of Kanzeon bringing about the end of the storm, and that has some textual support. You can imagine it's Dogen after all, but in the verses here, it talks about how in the middle of a vast sea, by mindfully invoking Kanzeon's power, the billowing waves cannot drown you.
And he chanted this chapter we just did, and I saw this.
Yeah. So other than other than the portrayals of Kanzeon as definitely a female figure, maybe the most common representation of Kanzeon is as Avalokiteshvara, called the thousand-armed or thousand-eyed Avalokiteshvara. So you may have seen statues in which Avalokiteshvara has many arms. It's usually some multiple in the 30s or 42, and maybe has multiple heads, frequently 11 heads. So that Avalokiteshvara can perceive the suffering of beings and has the ability with the multiple arms to relieve those sufferings. And frequently the arm on each hand of the thousand hands, there will be an eye. If there isn't an eye, then there will usually be some sort of tool that Avalokiteshvara can use to relieve suffering. So he will have a willow branch or a bottle of medicines to cure illness. He might have an axe, shovels, I mean, everything, all sorts of implements. And so that's really the background. And while the chant and even other parts of chapter 25 can seem like mumbo-jumbo, this magical relief by calling on Kanzeon Bodhisattva to intercede in our suffering and to cure it, it's really... Chapter 25 is really just bringing forward, I think, in the clearest fashion, themes that we've already seen in chapters 2, 11, 15, and 16. For example, while the focus in these verses is on the different kinds of suffering that Kanzeon can relieve, the verse portions of chapter 25 give at least equal to support to Kanzeon's activities, bringing the Dharma to people, to transforming them and helping people set out on the Buddha way. So like Shakyamuni Buddha, and as in the chant we just had, it's clear that Kanzeon appears in every land and in every world throughout the cosmos, and Kanzeon can take many, many forms. So, for example, chapter 25 says that if someone really needs to hear the Dharma from a Buddha, then Kanzeon appears as a Buddha. If they need to hear the Dharma as a Pratika Buddha or a Shravaka, that happens. Or if the person really needs to have teaching from a general or a high government official, an ordinary citizen, a monk or a nun, or an ordinary person, or a boy or a girl, or even a wife, then Kanzeon will appear in that way to bring the Dharma. But also, surprisingly, Kanzeon will appear, if that's what you need, as an animal, or a dragon, or as a chimera, or a python. So it's clear that this is a way of helping us to realize that not only Kanzeon is acting through the assistance and the support we receive from all beings in our lives, and that we need to learn to see that whatever brings us to awakening, whichever causes us to step outside of our ordinary greed, anger, and delusion about it in connection with our lives, that's the activity of Kanzeon. And beyond that, Kanzeon is our example, is our model, so that we ourselves are supposed to use skillful means to bring the Dharma to everyone in whatever way is going to be most effective for them to hear it. So all of that is very similar to what we've already heard from the Buddha in chapter 16, which says that when people can't perceive him in his as Shakyamuni Buddha anymore, he will continue to appear throughout the cosmos in different worlds, appearing as himself or as other figures. He has embodiments as Buddhas in other worlds, and so Kanzeon is, in her own way, embodying the Buddha. That the activity of the awakening activity of Kanzeon Bodhisattva and of us as we preach the Dharma and preach the Lotus Sutra are ourselves embodiments of Kanzeon and of Shakyamuni Buddha. So all of that is very consistent with other parts of the Lotus Sutra. The surprising part is all of this that's gone on that we read about and chanted about in the verse portions of chapter 25, that there is this vow that Kanzeon has made, that Kanzeon, if you will call upon Kanzeon, she will respond to relieve suffering of whatever nature. Not just to, you know, in the verse portions, it's clear that by keeping Kanzeon in mind as a model, an example of how we should live, we will gradually awaken and be transformed and be freed gradually from our own attachment and aversion and delusion and be freed from the dukkha of birth, sickness, old age, and death. And that this is a way of just keeping Kanzeon in mind is a way of setting out on the Buddha way and awakening our minds. But this is a little different. This is something we haven't heard before. That that whatever our suffering, whatever our loss, Kanzeon will help us. There have been some modern people who've been sort of embarrassed by this scripture and say, well, it doesn't really mean that. All this is metaphorical. What this really means is if you recite the name or if you recite a verse that pays homage to Kanzeon, you'll be awakened from the ordinary patterns of thought that you have, and your suffering will be relieved. You may continue to feel pain, but you won't experience dukkha about it. So it's sort of a yogic technique just by reciting Kanzeon, Namu Butsu Kanzeon, Namu Butsu Kanzeon, Namu Butsu Kanzeon. You won't be caught up in the streams of thought and painful emotion, and that's fine. And I think that there's an element of that too, but I think it does a disservice to the scripture to think that people, that it wasn't written literally, that when that it was understood that Kanzeon was going to have that magic power. What does that mean to us? Each of us is going to have to decide whether really we believe that Kanzeon is going to protect us from physical danger, car crashes and tornadoes and armies that might attack us and all sorts of violence, that sort of thing. I think that the important message for us is once again, as I discussed before, that we need to, that in beginning to see whatever helps us and relieves us in our suffering is the activity of Kanzeon coming to relieve our suffering and to awaken us to the message that the Buddha brought to us in chapters 11 and 15 and 16, that the awakening activity of the Buddha is always in concrete beings, in the activity of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who do the work of the Buddha. But beyond that, when we awaken from our deluded mind, all things and all activities of the universe are expressions of the awakening activity of Buddha. And in the same way, when we begin to see the assistance and support that we find in our lives from other people and the events in our lives, we awaken to the ways in which all things in the world support each other and interact with each other and are inseparable from each other. I also want to think it's important to say that I think that the most important thing to take away from chapter 25 and the Universal Gateway is the idea that Kanzeon is the ideal bodhisattva. We are all on the path of awakening. We are all bodhisattvas, and Kanzeon is our perfect model. We are supposed to relieve the suffering of others, and relieving the suffering of others is not just preaching the Dharma, but concretely helping people in need who are suffering, doing what we can to help them. And that this is the activity of the Buddha, that and that when we talk about Kanzeon and ourselves and our work, doing the Buddha work, doing Kanzeon's work, is the work of compassion. It's not a matter of sentiment. You know, awakening and compassion can be expressed in our actions, speech, and thoughts. But the emphasis in chapter 25 is on the actual work and relief of suffering, not on feeling sorry or empathizing with people. We must respond to suffering as Kanzeon does. In perceiving the suffering of the world, Kanzeon reaches out to relieve suffering, and the same challenge is put to us. And when we take on this activity, when we are willing to act in order to relieve the suffering of other beings, that's when we have stepped out of our own greed, anger, and delusion about ourselves as separate from the world, and recognize that others are supporting us and we are supporting them. When we do that, that's when we embody Shakyamuni Buddha, and that is when we become the thousand eyes and hands of Kanzeon Bodhisattva. So the message is not what we ordinarily expect from Buddhism, right? We sit on where we expect it to say we're going to sit on a cushion, we're going to wake ourselves up, or at best we're going to bring the good news of awakening to other people. And this is telling us that the awakening of the Buddha is found in healing the sick, helping the poor and troubled. And this is a path that can be followed by anyone who doesn't have the ability or the opportunity to sit on a cushion awakening. That in helping others, at least in that action, everyone enters the Dharma and embodies Shakyamuni Buddha and Kanzeon Bodhisattva and the ultimate reality of life. Thank you. Does anyone have any comments or questions? Will.
This isn't a fully thought out question, but thank you for your talk.
Thank you.
My question is kind of about the importance of sort of like helping that comes out of spontaneity and compassion for it versus helping because you feel like you should help. And I feel like I've often understood that it's really important to feel compassion and to kind of have that be the goal, if you will, and then the sort of the positive energy or whatever you want to call it, acts that you give out to others will just sort of like spontaneously arise out of that. So I'm curious, I don't know what you think of that and how to fit that in with everything you said.
Well, I think that the ideal would be that there would be no self-serving element in our helping to relieve the suffering of others. As a practical matter, I think, Buddhism is a very acute, has very acute studies of the mind. And I think that it's too easy to say that someone who thinks they ought to help other people and then helps other people is not acting as a bodhisattva. I think that while that person, the thoughts of being a good person or gaining merit or something like that are part and parcel of the sort of greed or attachment that the whole pattern that characterizes so much of our life. Does a person like that really exist? In helping other people and paying attention to them and making sure that you are responding to their concrete suffering, I think that you are paying attention to them and stepping outside of any concern for yourself. So, to sort of in terms of traditional Buddhist psychology, there could be, in that activity, there could be multiple thought moments. And some of them could be characterized by attachment, aversion, delusion. But the others are not, as a practical matter. That the person who is really open to the suffering of someone else and responding to it is acting as a Buddha, is acting as Kanzeon Bodhisattva.
Just to add a little bit that part of the effect of doing this practice of upright sitting, doing it regularly, is that we start to see, not as an intellectual matter, but to actually realize that we are not separate from others. what happens to others affects us, that we're in this together. So this sense of non-separation becomes part of us, so that we actually want to be helpful to others. We see that we're connected.
So I've been very grateful that we've been able to focus so much on the Lotus Sutra during this practice commitment period. And Taigen, let me jump to chapter 25, which we haven't been reading at my request. But in reading it, I found that it really is an expression of what we've already been reading. And it meant very much to me. Just carrying out the message again that's also in chapters, not so much chapter 2, but 11, 15, and 16, that awakening and caring for others, compassion, is always concrete. It is always awakened activity, compassionate activity in body, speech, and mind. That compassion and awakening are not abstractions that we express. Compassion and awakening are names we give to awakened activity, compassionate activity. There is no awakening, there's no compassion separate from that. And even sitting in our cushion is awakened sitting. That's what we do. We sit here and this is life on our cushion in its least distracted, most concentrated form, in which we rehearse. It's dress rehearsal for the real thing when we get off our cushion and walk outside of Ancient Dragon. And
I'm going to sort of follow up on your talk tomorrow night by talking about non-attachment as a passionate activity. Eric, you mentioned it.
Yeah. Fake it until you make it.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. And, you know, chanting the Universal Gateway or chanting Kanzeon's name, chanting the Enmeijuku Kanzeon, Namubutsu Kanzeon, whatever you feel about the existence of some beyond natural, super powerful Bodhisattva reminds us of Kanzeon and is an inspiration to us to awaken our own Buddha spirit. So, you know, I think that's part of fake it till you make it. Yeah, I think that's a good point, and that's what's different about the Universal Gateway from other parts of the Lotus Sutra, but not entirely. But it's certainly a major focus. It gives equal time to suffering, non-abstract suffering. That's kind of different. I think in chapter 15 or 16, there's also, at one point, Shakyamuni says, whoever does good and acts kindly sees me. And I think there's a lot of that message is something that chapter 25 runs with. I think that's part of the skillful means we're supposed to develop as bodhisattvas, right? That when someone has a broken leg, it's not, you haven't done the job when you hand them aspirin. So, it's a step in the right direction. And I think that that's, that's part of it, that in different kinds of suffering and addiction and so on, you can be an enabler by giving someone a drink who wants to be a drink, wants a drink and really needs to have a drink, or you can help them in other ways to help them ease their suffering more fundamentally. But those are skillful means, and there's no rule book, right? Skillful means, you know, skillful means when it cures the suffering. Yeah.
I had a question about, well, I guess something that has always struck me about Kanzeo's story, or Kuan Yin or Avalokiteshvara, I guess, is that she had the opportunity to become a Buddha, right? And decided to remain a bodhisattva and help suffering people instead of samsara and going into nirvana and living in a fancy Buddha land. Chose to kind of stay and help. And I guess that always struck me, if I understand the story right, as a kind of just basic compassionate sacrifice in a sense.
Yeah. Well, in the Lotus Sutra, the difference between a Buddha and a Bodhisattva is razor thin or perhaps non-existent, right? Because Shakyamuni Buddha himself could enter nirvana, and someday will enter nirvana, but he's been alive for gazillions of trillions of eons and is going to live twice that long after he appears to die when he's about 75 years old and eats the poisoned, dies of food poisoning. And what's the difference between the Shakyamuni Buddha and Kanzeon? Kanzeon, if somebody needs to hear the Dharma from a Buddha, Kanzeon appears as a Buddha. Well, what's the difference between someone who appears as a Buddha, who looks is a perfect expression of Buddhahood, and a Buddha? I don't know. So the definitions kind of fall apart, but that willingness to stay and to help all beings is certainly part of it. Yeah, Ken.
I have a question. Now, this week I had an experience, and maybe you can help me understand how I should interpret it. I was driving out in traffic going to shopping, place and all that, and I have an old heavy car. And it rained before, and it starts to sputter and sputter, then it started stalling out in traffic. And I get it going, and I go a little bit more than stalling traffic. So eventually I'm kind of nursing it along, and I end up at a bus stop. So I'm thinking, holy cow. And it's a heavy car, so I can't push it out myself. So I'm thinking, what should I do? Should I call the service? But that'll take like an hour and a half to get there. All of a sudden, two guys show up. Guys who work in the neighborhood come over and push me right out of the way. Should I interpret that as the intervention of Avalokiteshvara?
Should you?
What's that?
Should you? I don't know if you should or not. It's really up to you. The point of this practice is to open yourself to a vision of the world where the world is helping you and you are helping the world, and we're supporting all things are supporting each other. So I think it would be absolutely legitimate to do it. But, you know, Kanzeon, Buddha, the world is Buddha, those aren't objective things. Those are things we open to.
I shall open myself. I'm ready for more intervention.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they are, it's they are Kanzeon for you. You are Kanzeon for other people. So, right, Kanzeon is me. I am not Kanzeon. Buddha is me. I am not Buddha.
And Suzuki Roshi once said, "The world is its own magic."
Hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that anything that inspires, that where we've received help and we feel gratitude, that's a good time to see Kanzeon.
Right, and what sort of came up as a model for me was the there was a collection of Hasidic stories about folks who were in that practice, and then the impact that practice had on them when they got caught up dealing with the Nazis and things like that. So famous old paperback, and I read it a long time ago. It just occurred, you know, things that people had done in their practice. For example, just saying hello to people on the street every day. And then he gets to the concentration camp, and there's a guy he's been saying hello to all the time, and he's a judge. So just, you know, a kind of a more concrete connection to everyday activity. So.
Kyoshin, did you have something? I thought I saw your hand go up.
I didn't raise my hand, but I will say that's the best story I've heard for a really long time. Thank you so much. And I was trying to talk about being a bodhisattva on Wednesday night at Rockefeller, and wasn't nearly as clear as you. But one thing I asked people, you know, can you think of experiences in your life where you had this kind of interaction, and it was really a wonderful little sharing moment. People thought of, you know, one fellow was a nurse, and he thought about another nurse he had worked with, and how generous and skillful and what a model he was. And anyway, it's a great world when you look at it through that lens. It's... You know, I mean, so much of the time we look at the world through this cynical lens and critical lens, and, you know, we could just go through every day feeling bad about everything, but there are so many wonderful bodhisattvas, and it's uplifting to focus our attention on that sometimes, and it is transformative to ourselves.
Thank you. Eric.
Can you just ask the question in terms of Kanzeon? Maybe you are Kanzeon by letting two other people feel useful that one might not otherwise.
I was happy to that role.